This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is Joy 94.9's Family Matters podcast, your light-hearted look at parenthood and rainbow families, sponsored by Berry Street. Did you know that Berry Street seeks members of our LGBTI communities to become foster carers? Not only do they have a proud tradition of training and embracing LGBTIQ carers, they officially support marriage equality. Learn more now at berrystreet.org.au, a proud Joy sponsor for over 5 years.
This is the Dying to Know podcast series. If you're dying to know, we're dying to tell.
In the studio, I have two of my favourite colleagues from the death care profession, Shannon Jones, who over the past 12 years has worked as a funeral director, arranger and conductor, as well as an embalmer, and Belinda Bowie, owner of Belinda Jane Video, a video tribute and print service. Working within the funeral profession, welcome, ladies.
Thanks, Stephanie.
As a funeral celebrant, I believe that a funeral is life's most important ceremony, more so even than a wedding, and often there is as much effort put into its organisation as a wedding, but usually with a five-day turnaround. Shannon, perhaps we could begin by explaining what happens when someone dies and how families work towards creating a ceremony, or sometimes not.
Yeah, it's a really scary time for a family, and that first phone call can be, I suppose, terrifying, and you can hear that on the end of the phone when you pick up the phone. So it's our job to reassure the family, I suppose, at the start, to understand that the process will go as slowly or as quickly as they're ready. The first things that they're wanting to know is where does their loved one go? You know, they're at the hospital or they're at the coroner's, or they're, you know, have passed away at home or in an aged care facility. You know, and that's really important that they understand that their loved one will be cared for with respect and dignity. And we reassure them that that will happen upon the transfer from their loving arms into our care. And then after that, we start to sort of have that conversation about what type of service they're looking to have. I mean, the first point of our conversation is to find out whether they're wanting to do a service of cremation or burial. And it starts that simply. And then we just start to build that conversation and the trust. And I think that's a really big issue in the funeral industry, is to understand that our job role is really vital in the community, because people are entrusting their family members who have no voice. And so trust has to be built, and they need to understand that they can trust us with their loved one at every point, and that we will listen and to provide the service that they're looking for their loved one, whether that's a religious service, an Orthodox service. It can be a service on the beach. It can be an unattended service, so a service where no one attends and a cremation can take place privately.
So when you consider the breakdown of services that a funeral company may offer, there are a few items that perhaps stand out. The first that you'll notice is, when you're looking at an invoice perhaps, is a professional services fee. Mm. Shannon, can you explain what a professional services fee is and what this includes?
With a professional service fee, it does depend on the company. A professional service fee is the fee that covers the cost involved in the staff member taking care of all of the documentation and the organisation required for us to have the service take place at the particular time, at that. So every point for the family is attended to. So we would make contact with all of the service providers for that. We also provide all of the staff on the day. The hearse will be provided, obviously, for transportation of the deceased from their point of care to the service. We also make sure that we have appropriate staff numbers. So if you're having a service with 12 people, we wouldn't have 7 staff members, because it would seem a bit of an overload. So we balance all of that out. We also, in that service fee, is the documentation side of it, which is around about 20 hours worth of documentation that we need to provide for the Office of Births, Deaths and Marriages. We need to collect medical cause of death certificates from either hospitals or doctors. Then we needed to start conversing with all of the service professionals that they want to engage for the service. So that is for one part, and then a transportation and mortuary care can be added fee on that.
So what is mortuary care?
So mortuary care is respectful care and appropriate care for the deceased.
Can you... So what does mortuary care involve, Shannon?
So the mortuary care is to provide appropriate care for the deceased for their service to take place. So we do a number of things. We close the mouth, so we would what we call set the features. So we would close their eyes and close their mouth. We do that for a number of reasons. We do that for hygiene, for the safety of the staff that are going to be providing their care outside of the mortuary, because some of the airborne diseases that we do hold in life can sometimes still be apparent in death. So we want to make sure that we keep it.
No, I had no idea about that.
airborne. So most bloodborne, obviously, bloodborne diseases are based on the heat of your body, so they continue to develop because of, or they can only be viable, I suppose, because of the temperature of our body. And air and lung is different. So if there's fibrous tissues in the lungs that are contagious, then we need to be concerned about them. It's very rare. We also do it because we want to make sure that at every point, the deceased is also received with dignity and respect. So if the driver comes along and we've placed the deceased into their coffin or casket ready for service, that they're not opening it to somebody who has, you know, an open mouth and their eyes are open. You know, they're laid at rest, they're set, they've washed, they're bathed, and they're placed in their clothing, ready for their service. So I always think of it as a way that, and everyone gets their hair done with me and their teeth are done, because I think if I'm going to see my, whoever my God is, and, you know, everybody's, I think, is different, I would really like to look my best. And so I just think everybody should have their hair done. And it can be a non-attended cremation, but if you come into my mortuary, you know, and your nails need to be painted, they'll be painted regardless.
Oh, Shannon. So is mortuary care optional, or is it something that is just done as a part of the procedure?
You can opt to have no mortuary care. So in that circumstance, your loved one is brought into the mortuary and then gently placed directly into their receptacle or their coffin or casket, ready for service. So there'd be no mouth closure or no eye closure done. We would just simply place them in as they were at passing. And we also have, I suppose, in the death industry and in the mortuary, you care for people that are high in society, and then you're also caring for those people that, you know, haven't had the opportunities to rise like others. And I actually find some of the most memorable people that I've had in my mortuary, which sounds like a funny thing to say, but, you know, have been those people who have possibly had a more troubled life and haven't had the opportunity to make great life decisions. I've spent more time with them than I have some of the very, very high, I suppose, high-flying people within the society, because I think that I just want them to know that they were loved at some point, and if that was with me, then I just want them to know that someone cared. Even in death, you can still love someone enough to let them go and know that hopefully their next part of their journey is going to be a safe one.
And it's funny that you say that, Shannon, because I always find that the services that I work hardest on are for the people that have had the most miserable lives, because I just want them to have one final moment of glory. And, you know, if I can make that happen, then I always do. And look, more and more there are ways, I think, that families can become involved in funeral services. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you've seen that over the years. Belinda, certainly you. I mean, today I had a family who did all the flowers for the service. There are other families who want to lead their own services or do their own catering or place their own funeral notices or even host in their own homes. I've done services in family homes. What are some of the things that really do require the expertise of a funeral professional?
Mortuary care is one thing. Look, and I'm actually come from a mindset that's maybe a little bit more alternative than some of the other less alternative, I suppose, or more conservative, I would say is a better word. Because I actually believe that the journey through death, if we approach it the right way, families can gain great benefit from participating in many, many aspects, including the mortuary care, if it's done the right way. And caring for someone in death doesn't need to be, or it doesn't have to be, scary. So I think that your benefit when you're engaging a funeral director is to find that funeral director that's going to find the balance. Some families just simply say, take mum away and have her cremated. It's too much for me to handle. I don't understand what happens here, and I understand them. I also understand a mother who loses her child who doesn't understand how you can take their child away. So we don't, you know, we involve them, we bring them on, we bring them with us, and they drive with us, they stay with us the whole time, because you need to just adjust every moment. I've never met another human being that's the same as another, even a twin. You know, we're born separately, we don't have the same birth time, we don't have anything the same. So in death, be sure to take that on board as well.
From when you said earlier that you make that first phone call, and this is kind of the process that happens. Mm. Say I've made that phone call, I'm a day in, it's going to be a 5-day turnaround, and I'm not connecting with the service provider that I've contacted. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'm really uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. They've already gotten possession of my family member or loved one. Mm-hmm. How do I go about changing that?
It happens more than you may think. It's and in some circumstances, in some care facilities, they don't have a mortuary. So sometimes your loved one is taken into the care of one funeral director. You engage with them in a conversation. And if it's not comfortable, or if you're just not feeling like you're going to have the result that you would like, or the interaction isn't right, you can certainly make that phone call.
And also, Shannon, you know, as you well know, people go into shock when someone dies, and 100%. They don't make the same decisions that they normally would. Mm. So oftentimes people will take a step back, and maybe it's the next day and they've managed to get some sleep having sat vigil for 5 nights by mum's bedside, and they go home, they get their first decent night's sleep, and they wake up and they think, that's all wrong. I don't feel comfortable about what we've done. And, you know, in the clear light of day, you can change your mind. Mm-hmm. You can funeral professionals will always, you know, accommodate changes. And
look, it doesn't matter what industry they're in. We've dealt with funeral celebrants and their mothers have passed and they've completely forgotten the whole process, and we've told them things 3 times and they just, because they've shifted from their normal job to now they're grieving and they're not remembering anything that we're telling them, because they're so grief-struck and that they can't comprehend anything, and nothing's staying in because they are exhausted and they are suffering that grief. So, you know, we've had it on both sides where, you know, any other day of the week they would have been fine, but this week they were dealing with their own loss and they were just struggling.
So, Belinda, as some end-of-life ceremonies become more like major events, expectations have changed. What do you think the biggest change you've seen in end-of-life ceremonies has been?
I would have to say the filming and live streaming of funeral services. I know I've spoken to a lot of people and they, you know, ask what I do, and I say I film funerals, and there's that initial shock of going, oh, my God, you film funerals, and I say yes. And then when I go and explain, I say, you know, there's times when there's people overseas or they're interstate or they're sick and they can't travel. It's cheaper to send me and I film the service respectfully, discreetly from the back. You know, and a lot of time people don't even know that I'm there. And it means those people can still feel like they're attending the service. They can still see everyone arrive. They can still hear the service, see the service, and they don't have to leave their home, or they can watch it from the car park in their car, or they can watch it from work and still feel part of that service. And we get lots of great feedback on that because, you know, they have been able to be involved. They've been able to leave a message, you know, on the page to say, you know, thank you for involving us. It was a beautiful service, you know, and people get over that shock and go, do you know what? That would have been really important if, you know, when my uncle passed away, et cetera, you know, to have that service and have that service available to them.
And people can go back and revisit that service, can't they? And I know that we did a service together back in March and we had, I think, 200 people at the service. Wow. And then there were 680 views of that service.
Yeah, yeah,
so,
it's amazing.
You know, it might not be on the day. It might be a week later when you actually have time to sit down and dedicate that hour or two to that moment, but people then bring grief into their lives at a different, you know, at a
and you know, people can be watching, they might not, they might have missed a service because, you know, they're overseas and it's 3 o'clock in the morning. They can watch it at their next available convenience. The family can go home that day and watch the service if they really wanted to. So it's really great. And I did do one big service one time for a family over the Easter break. It was school holidays, and this guy was quite high up who passed away. And we live streamed it. The wife said, I didn't even see you there. I didn't even, you know, because again, she was so grief struck and she had no idea, but, you know, she had other things on her mind. And she said she had so many comments from people who'd sat in their car and watched it, you know, for that 2 hour service, or, you know, they'd watched it at work. And, you know, she got so many beautiful messages from people that couldn't make it because it was school holidays. It was still a massive service, probably 300-400 people there, but, you know, another 300-400 had watched it, so that was really important for her. And, you know, it's great feedback.
So, Belinda, as well as the webcasting and the live streaming that you do and the filming of services, what are some of the other things that people can include in a service now?
Well, there's the DVD slideshow, and a lot of the times, and you would get it too, Stephanie, where the family go, oh, it's okay, we can take care of it, and then they've stayed up all night until 12 o'clock, you know, until 3 o'clock in the morning, and they've come in. And how I got involved, one of my friends, her uncle had passed away, and she spent all night, and she rang me. I said, look, just come over, and we're just chatting, and I'm scanning her photos, and we're still chatting, and I made up the DVD. I said, he'd enter and said, how's this? And she went, oh my God, have you finished it? And I said, well, I haven't quite finished it, but it's nearly there. And she goes, I spent so long on this last night. And you just see the relief lift from their shoulders, you know, same with the printing of booklets, the orders of service or bookmarks. So that kind of relieves the stress. They come in and they go, oh, here's all our photos. And we go, yep, no problem. We'll take all those. We'll scan them for you. We'll send you a link. You can watch it before the service. And they go, really? Is that, that's it? And we go, yes, we'll look after it and we'll give you a call when it's ready to view. And, you know, you can just, it's like you can actually see the weight lift off their shoulders from that. So,
and it's interesting, you know, when I first started working as a celebrant about 8 years ago, probably one in 10 services had a DVD slideshow during the service, and now one in 10 services don't have a slideshow.
Absolutely.
They are so popular and people love them. What have you ever had to counsel a family on content for slideshows, I mean, or music? Have there been
photos? Yes, we've had a couple of photos that have sneaked through that we hadn't spotted at the time of the service, but, you know, there's been some the nude photos that have slipped in, and which you kind of hadn't spotted when you'd made the DVD.
Clothing.
And then, I mean, if the family wanted in, they wanted in. We kind of make sure that they, you know, that they're aware that that photo has some nudity in it. But, you know, if that's what that person was like, then they certainly get a surprise everyone at the service, and there's a bit of a laugh. So, you know, there's some interesting songs that we've done them to. I know one song for Exit, I think, what was it? I know it was one of your services, Shannon, where I think the brother was quite heavy, so they used a song, He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother. So that was the Exit song, and, you know. Oh, you've done the Nutbush on the way out.
Yes.
So,
wow.
Yeah, so
and the time
great.
Warp. I remember you telling me, Shannon, about doing the step to the left and then jump to the left and step to the right. Shannon, just back to you. What do you think is the most memorable thing that you've seen at a funeral service?
I did a service for a young gentleman who passed away overseas, and it's not what I saw happen from the celebrant or from service per se. It was the community. It was the kids that came. He was a young gentleman. It was a feeling in that room, and it was a big room. It was a town hall, and it was full. And we were to the point of it was dangerous, and the kids kept coming. We had kids sitting on the ground, sitting up the hole, everywhere. And then we had to... It was one of the most amazing feelings I've ever had as a funeral director, and spine-chilling, I'll be honest, to stand there and see his family and all of his bits and pieces on the stage in memory of him, and those the silence that those thousand kids... That there was silence, and there was... I remember that all, and I remember him in particular. I have a fondness, and I still see his mother, actually, and his father. But that was one of the most memorable. We've had an aeroplane fly over with one of the banners on the back from a service, so that was quite an interesting one. And to time, that was obviously attention to detail times 400. How do you fix that? It is individual.
It is. Mm. And can you remember a service that you wished you could have said no to?
Oh, yes. I did a service. And look, do you know what? In life we learn from our mistakes. And I also go to work every single day. And I go to work every day believing I don't know anything, because I've never met anybody that I'm going to meet that day ever before. So I have to go to work that way. And if you try to go any other way, I think you get a little bit ahead of yourself. So when I first started, I may have been a bit ahead of myself, and I did a service for an Italian family. And the intricacy of an Italian service...
There's lots of nodding from Jean over there.
Yeah, I'm and the Greek Orthodox. Yes.
But I have Italian family, okay, and from the rosary the night before, and everything that's involved, it is different. It's intense.
Well, it was my first ever... Italian, full Italian mass with rosary. Yeah. And I thought I was doing really well until I sent them a car instead of a limousine, because I was rushing, and I was. And we are under the pump a lot. And so what we have an attention to detail that would probably drive most people around the bend, but we have to do that because we need to make sure every service is exactly what that family wants. So when the six daughters turned up, and let's just say I did have a bit of a nervous breakdown that day. I had 3 days off after that. I thought I was – but I never did it again. So I never got ahead of myself. So actually really early on in my career, we fixed it. And that's what we do. If we make an error, we have to take it on the chin and fix the situation. We did that in record time that day, but we learned from it. And that day I learned to come in today every day and not get too ahead of myself.
But you also learned that things change on the day, and that you always have to be thinking on your feet. As Belinda, I mean, you would attest to time and time again. And, you know, it is a really difficult profession to work in, because you're dealing with grieving people, people who aren't always rational. You work long hours, you're always on call, and you're surrounded by grief and sadness. Mm. Belinda, for you, what do you think is the hardest thing about working within the funeral profession?
The hardest thing?
Time.
Yeah, it's probably time, but I think a lot of the times families come to us and they don't think there's enough time. And as soon as you say, that's okay, we'll take care of it, they go, oh. You know, and we've had, I've got another celebrant that knows that if she rang me and said, I need 10 orders of service made up for a service tomorrow at 9 o'clock in the morning, can you do it? Our answer is always yes.
Yeah. And that's been my experience with you too. Yeah. And, you know, I've done the mercy calls at 10 o'clock saying, DVD is not working, and you're send it in tomorrow, we'll fix it, and you do.
And, you know, we've done it before where they've actually driven the DVD round to us, we've fixed it up and sent it straight back to the service, and they've just held the service until the DVD's arrived back, or they've, you know, extended the service slightly to get that DVD because we've had to fix it in that time. And, you know, if a family's going or the celebrant's coming to us saying this family needs it, then they're under way more stress than what we're going to be under. So, you know, we can always get it done for them, you know. Mm. I'll get out of bed and get it done and get it printed. And we've stayed up lots of late nights printing and folding and stapling and getting everything done for services to go out that next morning. So I actually enjoy the industry because it is quick turnaround. You know, you get a product in, you make it, you do what the family needs and you send it out, and we get a lot of great feedback from that. You know, and those difficult families that you get, you always learn something from that. You know, you might have, you know, Shannon's learnt from that Italian family, so she always makes sure she orders the limousines now. But, you know, but those tough families will teach you something that you weren't aware of and you can learn from to make sure it never happens again. So it is fast-paced, but I absolutely enjoy the industry. I actually like it better than weddings, which is quite interesting. Everyone thinks, well, weddings are, you know, it's a joyful event, but it doesn't mean a funeral can't be joyful and, you know, a beautiful service and you know, the way that the family wanted it, so...
It's interesting. Families are always amazed that I don't do weddings. I said, but, you know, you'd be great at doing weddings. No, thank you, you know. It's funerals. And what about you, Shannon? What do you think has been the hardest thing for you? I mean, over 12 years, gosh.
Mine's time. You know, like I do give way more of myself than I should.
I do have a story to share about something great that Shannon's done. She did a service for her. She's looking at me funny now. She did a service for a young gentleman who passed away in Australia, but he was travelling back overseas and he didn't have a change of clothes. So she brought his clothes home. She washed them, dried them, and then put him in them the next day and sent him home. So that was...
We bought him a T-shirt too. Yes. Because he had it. His T-shirt, I couldn't get clean, so I had to quickly go... I do remember him, actually. Yeah, he's a lovely guy. He had a leather jacket on. I think that's what anybody would do. And, you know, people say to me all the time, you know, how can you do all the baby services? Because I do a lot of baby and children's services. And I actually say that it's an honour. And I know that sounds funny, but I say a midwife is there to see someone into the world... And I'm honoured on the other end because sometimes I'm the last person to touch them, the last person to wish them good luck on their journey, you know, and the last person to care for them in a way that a mother would. And I think that's an honour. And people find that really weird, but I don't. And I just think that I go to work every day and I'm honoured to have these people in my care. I chitter-chatted them. So many of them have gone away with all my stuff. I'm cried. I'm fighting with my girlfriend. You know, and poor old Barry sitting on the, you know, laying on the mortuary table and, you know, and I'm letting him tell, I'm telling him everything.
Well, you're playing music. I know you like to always and play music.
If I know the family, all the arrangers rung and said, oh, this, you know, he loves Elvis, so, you know, I'll just play Elvis, you know. Like, I just don't see them as dead, I suppose, like other people see them as dead. I know that it's a vessel that held their soul, and I understand all that, but it was a really important vessel for that family, and I just think that if I can love and nurture them while they're with me, that's an honour, and I have the same with children. Like, I bought the Frozen DVD because we had a little girl in our care and that was her favourite, and, you know, her mum was, she was very passionate about her daughter not being lonely, so I just let it play the whole time that she was with us. And I would hope someone would do the same thing for mine kids if they were in the same position.
And it's that amazing attention to detail and that amazing care that so often people don't understand happens behind the scenes. That's important for us to talk about now and for people to understand, because when you go into a mortuary, the most important thing in that mortuary is that person there, and they are treated with enormous respect. One final question for both of you. Mm-hmm. What have you both got planned for your own funerals?
Well, it's interesting, though, because you kind of go, well, I've already got a list of songs, which is in my phone. You know, Shannon's got a whole lot of, you know, songs as well and readings.
I've got a bar mix.
Yeah.
Because I want my my black casket to be the bar. I don't want people to speak at my funeral. I hate being the centre of attention. And so I just want it to be, everyone can just buy a drink over the bar. I don't even drink, let me just say that. But I just want everyone else to relax and just tell stories with each other, and then a couple of people stand up and have a toast, and then just whoosh me out the side door.
You've got your lists of songs and stuff, but in just order. Like baby names and that stuff, what's on trend? What really needs to stop? What are you sick of playing? Like, I worked opposite a Brash's music store at Christmas, And I never want to hear, what's her name?
Mariah Carey.
Oh, I love that song.
Christmas, all I want, you know, for, all I want for Christmas is
my
you.
Favorite.
Is there an All I Want for Christmas Is You song
yes.
that just oh, drops
absolutely.
You a little
Stephanie
bit,
could say that, you know,
come on,
it's
what is
time
it's
the, to say goodbye. To,
yeah, My Way, Frank Sinatra.
Yeah. Wonderful World.
Over the Rainbow.
Unforgettable.
But there's also so many great songs as well that when you play them, there's a new Ed Sheeran one that I heard the other day. It's about his mum passing away. It was beautiful.
Yes,
I go,
that
I can't wait.
Recently.
Oh, I haven't played it yet. So
no, I've played that recently.
That's going to be a good one.
It's beautiful.
One of the best things about the funeral industry, just going back to things that you do remember, is when they play a song you've never heard. You see every funeral director shazamming the song because we listen to this, you know, like, because we don't, I suppose it's one of those funny things, but we don't listen to the service so much because you can't get yourself involved because you'd be crying along with the families. Mm. But
that's
then you hit because the music kind of picks you up a bit. And
I played an interesting song today at a funeral service, Belinda Emmett's song, the last song that she wrote, Less Than Perfect. This Life of Ours is Less Than Perfect. And it was played at her funeral. It was released and played at her funeral.
Yes, I remember that.
And, I hadn't heard it before. So I have this incredible library of music of everybody's funeral favourites. So
yes, we do too.
We do too.
We've got about 12,000 in our list.
Abide With Me.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Not many people my age could have that as one of their songs.
Well, thank you for joining
us.
No
problem.
It's been wonderful.
It's been a pleasure to come. Thanks for inviting us.
Thanks so much.
You've been listening to Joy 94.9's Family Matters podcast, your light-hearted look at parenthood and rainbow families, sponsored by Berry Street. Did you know that Berry Street seeks members of our LGBTI communities to become foster carers? Not only do they have a proud tradition of training and embracing LGBTIQ carers, they officially support marriage equality. Learn more now at berrystreet.org.au, a proud Joy sponsor for over 5 years.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.